Well, welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts, also known as the Word is the Way to Life podcast. Wow, we are in the Psalms now. You know, we completed Ecclesiastes, now we're in the Psalms, and we're doing the same thing with the Psalms as we have done with the book of Ecclesiastes, and we're going to cover Psalm 51 through 100, different one every week. This week, it comes from Psalm 52. Now, the directions for this psalm for the choir director, it's a psalm of David regarding the time that Doeg the Edomite told Saul about Amalek and given refuge to David. Hear God's word, Psalm 52. You call yourself a hero, do you? Why boast about this crime of yours? All day long you plot destruction. Your tongue cuts like sharp razor. You're an expert in telling lies. You love evil more than good and lies more than truth. You love to say things that harm others. You liar. But God will strike you down once and for all. He will put you from your home and drag you from the land of the living. The righteous will see it and be amazed. They will laugh and say, look what happened to the mighty warriors who do not trust in God. Their trust in their wealth instead, and grow more and more bold in their wickedness. But I am like an olive tree thriving in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. I will praise you forever, O God, for what you have done. I will wait for your mercies in the presence of your people. May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. You know, in 1 Samuel, chapter 19 through chapter 31, it tells about David's flight from jealousy and murderous King Saul. On one occasion, David came to the godly priest Amalek, who gave him his supporters consecrated bread and Goliath's sword. Well, this was witnessed by Saul's servant Doeg. Doeg later betrayed Amalek to the king, and then volunteered to become Saul's executioner, one of the most brutal acts in the whole Old Testament. Doeg slaughtered all 85 priests of Amalek in their hometown, and all the men and the women and animals in that city. Now, David remembered Doeg's despicable act of treachery and violence in Psalm 52, and this psalm has three parts. The first part recalls Doeg's deceitfulness in verses 1 through 4. And then David emphasizes his treachery. You practice deceit and your tongue plots destruction in verse 2. And you love every harmful word and deceitful tongue. David then describes tongue as a sharpened razor. It cuts wounds and kills. Now, I don't know about you, but I think we've all experienced powerful cuts from somebody's words in our lives. It happens. Sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt us, and we know that's not true. So some of the deepest hurt that we experience are lies and betrayal of people who we thought we could trust. Now, in the second part of this psalm, David rejoices that God will bring justice and retribution on Doeg. He will come to everlasting ruin. The Old Testament does not say much about the afterlife, but David clearly believes in judgment and the life after death, and he knew that death would be an insufficient punishment for Doeg's evil deeds. His ruin deserves to be forever. Well, that final section, David contrasts his future with Doeg. He said, while Doeg will be uprooted from the land of the living, David will be flourishing like an olive tree. And then David describes himself as being in the house of God, even though while on the run, he was far away from God's physical tabernacle in Shiloh. But David understood, as we should as Christians, that we remain in God's presence no matter where we are. The Holy Spirit is always with us, and that is the presence of God. Wherever we are, He is there too. I think it's hard to live in a world where people have unspeakable evil, especially when we see them get away with it. Boy, They're knowing the news and see all the stuff. People get away with evil, but I don't think they can run from God. But the books of Samuel don't tell us what happened to Doge. It seems that he got away with his crimes in the life that he had, but not in the life to come. The God who hates evil and loves justice will one day repay people for the evil they have done. The Bible says, first comes death and then the judgment. Well, we as Christians don't have to fear the judgment because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But I would imagine this old boy, he needs to have some fear about the judgment. Anyhow, I digress. But this should encourage us. And although we grieve at the evil around us, and sometimes, like David, even feel partly responsible, we can rejoice in God's unfailing love towards us. Amen. And we can be confident that now and always we'll praise Him in the presence of His faithful people. Well, I just love the little insight about the Psalms. I hope and pray that you do too, because when we hear of people doing terrible things to others, especially people we know, how should we respond? And what emotions kind of well up in us? Does David express this in the Psalm? And what biblical truth does he hang on to? Well, we will see and fear or love God. Why will the righteous be afraid? Because they will stand in the presence of God. But those of us who accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have no fear of God, because He will bring the wicked to judgment. That's the hope that we hang on to. And I like what it said in the Old Testament too. God said, vengeance is mine. Don't kind of do your own vengeance. Just take it and give it to God, and He'll take care of it. It gives us that peace that passes all understanding, doesn't it? Well, we thank you for tuning in to The Word is the Way to Life. And as we do our little journey through the Psalms like we did with Ecclesiastes, hope and pray that you get something out of it. But it is also a time to reflect on God and how He's given us the gift of life, and how we can have life more abundantly, and more important, the gift of eternal life. Because when we leave this world, we go on to be with Him. And Jesus said that in my Father's house are many mansions, or I like to say many resting places. And He said, if it wasn't true, I'd tell you. But I go to prepare a place for you, and you may be with me forever. That's the hope that we have, the blessed hope, if you will. But in the meantime, there is all kinds of things around that we need to pray for and with, and prayer is certainly important. And we knew that the disciples saw that Jesus went off by Himself an awful lot. And when they asked Him, He said, well, I got to talk to Daddy or talk to the Father. And they wanted to be able to pray too. Now, this is a prayer. I call it the disciples' prayer, but most common it's called the Lord's Prayer. So we bring all of our prayers and our joys to Him today as we close this little segment with the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. If you click on the sides on the segment where the pastor's thoughts and prayers are, it'll bring up all the prayers that we know about that we list every week. And we come into a prayer of agreement with them and for them. But more importantly, since Jesus taught us how to pray, you can talk to God yourself. And that's what we encourage. And He will hear. He will listen. Intercessory prayer is very important. But talking to God for yourself and about the prayers and the needs that you need, because we do have a personal relationship with God the Father through God the Son, and then sealed with the Holy Spirit. Well, I hope and pray you have a good day, and tune in next week for Psalm 53.